Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag of a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on and all of a sudden you are still at Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see, and that's all that will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic line is where them two can defeat and them could have never clown. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, that's patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes, it gets no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to speak of, and still run research and find out the root of the truth that they seek of. Scholars teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze, and that's when their nose start running. And the rich get stitched up when they get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can they read signs? Can they read stars? Can they make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. Scared of the truth. We patient. For now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try
try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali, patience. Yeah.
Yes, patience. Oh, ye dry bones, can ye bones live? Is the most profound quote in the millennium. We are at the Helios Biblios, and we thank y'all for tuning in. That's right, the Helios Biblios Hour, where we call it the Book of the Sun. For those of you, a.k.a. Bible, you need to know. We've been doing every Sunday, and we will continue to do every Sunday about this particular subject, because all subjects seem to run through this subject. I thank all the guests that we had on Wednesday's show, Brother Greg Dawes. We had True Freeman on the show. Those of you who go to our archives and listen to those shows that we have, you will see that we will always end up to that. We got some new shows that we are trying to put into the Dry Bones Connection station, DBC, Dry Bones Connection Radio. Go to www.drybonesconnection.com and you can hear all our archives. We have some guests that I have really been astounded myself. We ain't been on but not even a year, y'all, and we have crusted over 12,000 total listeners. We thank all of you. We didn't start this out, we didn't think, but we're going to keep it going as long as we can. And the knowledge is there for you to ascertain and to maintain in your brain. So what we're trying to do tonight, I keep saying now, I'm so used to Wednesday, but we've got to do today, the Helios Biblios at the 10 o'clock hour, the 10. We're in at high noon of the Most High, 1-2, which would be the 3. The 3 would represent the Mother, the Father, and the Son at the highest point of the resurrection. We always going to have to go back to what we had. Some of the new shows that we're going to go is going to call Set the Record Straight, because we're going to start analyzing Wednesday shows with a more provocative look of where are some of our guests. Are they on the true compass? Are they out of the true square? Are they really on anything that is not ascertaining back to the creation story? We had Brother Sean, Sister Keela, and I think Credit Man was on briefly. We got Brother Tony out of Tampa. We got Montu Hotep coming back on with some outrage. I want y'all to know Montu killing his downloads, is now nearing 1,000 downloads for some of his more than some of the profound guests that we got to here go get a movie to see. You know, you got to think about it. It's knowledge from within us. Understand that. It's knowledge from within us. You don't have to go out all the time and pay a high price to hear the same thing that your brother been telling you all this time. That's a shame when we do that. It's disrespectful to the person who's bringing you truth to have to go out and pay for the same thing somebody he just told you. That just goes to show you how disrespectful we are to each other. Anyway, question is, what the Helios Biblios got to do with us? A lot. Last week, summarized briefly, I see some of our guests on here, to summarize briefly, we gave y'all a pretty much quick, concise understanding through some of what the great teachers have been teaching and put it together very fast and very furious so you don't have a long time to spend on trying to figure out the riddle. The Helios Biblios is the Book of the Sun, and we will show you that the sun is really the power, and the power that the sun is giving off is going to be one day coming closer and closer through the fingertips of God. The sun this week shut off a flare that was so magnificent that it is now being said it could mess with weather and with communications around this globe. Play with the sun if you want. It is saying that what is shooting off is the same particles that is in all living. What it is shooting off is so powerful, it's in all living, and it's going at a rate that's so fast that it's headed in our atmosphere within another, you know, who knows, time. All I know is they're measuring it. All of the astronomers, which is the bishops of the Roman Catholic Masonic Church, is obviously looking into it. NASA obviously looking into it. China's looking into it. Russia's, all the telescopes are eyeing the sun. Why? Could it be for a second coming? Well, we don't really want to give all the answers because we want all of us to think tonight. Last week we had Brother Sean, who's going to be coming on our show called Set the Record Straight. We're going to get a panel of people on Set the Record Straight. He'll be hosting that show. I'd like to get Lieutenant Dorothy to be coming on Set the Record Straight because she was very serious about what was going on with the sacrificial body of people, which we call the Eucharist. Many of you call the Eucharist, eat my body, drink his blood, and we'll sing a song of love, hallelujah. So you had no idea what you were singing. They are already drinking blood, and they are already sacrificing at a high level. Many of you do not know, and some of you who do, understand what I'm saying. So she brought out so much information that is going to be serious about what is happening all around the world. Not just in our hemisphere, it's in all four of the Helios equinox. Brother Sean told y'all last week how it's divided up into four. All that's being seen right before our very eyes. If y'all looking on the internet, you see the slideshow. The slideshow shows some more dynamic pictures that will make this more easy to understand. But today, before we get started, I'm going to make the subject clear. If what is perceived as the cult of Horus proves that this was first, would that not prove Christianity and the rest of the good old Western boys may be built on some falsehood that they are not telling the whole story? Or are they telling the whole story in symbolic, allegoric, metaphoric simile? If they are, ask yourself, what would be the deception for them doing so, and why would they not just have to tell the whole thing that what is going on? Or is it mainly that the astute, the elite, the adept, those who are consider themselves with these great titles are only held before themselves? Well, we show on that slideshow that it was a period called the Dark Ages, everybody, where science in that hemisphere was destroyed and was kept hidden during the Renaissance period, or before the Renaissance, which was called the Dark Ages. This is when the compilation of these books were robbed and taken into the Dark Age of Europe. Coming into that Dark Age, there were some dark people also around them. But we're not going to go there yet, because, see, we got to make sure that the people who claim to be children of the sun, you're only children of the sun because the melanation of the sun hitting these molecules, causing a chemical to be released, melanin, to create a layer so the sun will be not harmful but nourishing to us. The sun is nourishing. But upon the fall, which y'all heard and we're going to hear again, of Black Kemet, a tremendous fall, and we are busy studying, because when you do your studies, everybody, we found the fall. Brother Montu and a few other of us study outside of this, found the fall of man, as above, so below. We will talk about that as this show goes on tonight, today, because it's called the Corpus, C-O-R-P-U-S, Hermeticus. which is hermeticum, the hermeticum, the corpus hermeticum, which is H-E-R-M-E-T-I-C-U-M, hermeticum. Y'all need to look that up before we get into this. The corpus hermeticum, which will explain how the fall came and how Kemet was perceived around this particular hemisphere. And this hemisphere is the hemisphere that is provided through the Capricorn of Cancer and of Capricorn. The tropics of Cancer and the tropics of Capricorn is where we have proven that this oasis of knowledge, if you have taken your compass and put it on the top now, which is the blue now going in from Uganda, at the bottom of Uganda where the now ends, you take that circle, you circle it. I don't care how little the circle is, you can see that you are going to expand out. Matter of fact, expand it out smaller because that's how it started, and go bigger, bigger, bigger. You will find out that you are in an area known today as the continent of Africa. That is your geographical location for the Helios Biblos, not because we're trying to make it that way, but that's because that's what the Helios Biblos in Genesis 2:9 states, that it was placed at the end of that river. Now, this is written by, of course, the 52 fakers that Niles talked about, which is King James, Mary Man, who took the seven-year purge to write that and rewrite that book. And, of course, what he did, he was 52 writers. I suggest all you look up Sir Francis Bacon, Sir William Shakespeare, which could be a nominee for a club or an acronym for a writer's club, and so forth. But I'm going to start by getting it on. Let's look at the parallel between Horus and the Christ, Jesus Christ. Is the name Jesus Christ? We'll find that out at the end. Let's go to one. Horus, born of a virgin. Jesus, born of a virgin. Two, write that down. The foster father of Horus was Seb, or Seth. Seb, S-E-B. Jesus was fostered by Joseph. Notice Seth, Joseph, had the same name as Seth. Take off the Joe-O. It was no Joe-O in that time at all. J did not have any pronunciation in the ancient, and neither did O. So Seb, Seth. Three, Horus was a royal descent of Amun-Ra, Ra, Isis, Ptah, Tahuti, Ampu, Anubis, and of course the spirit of Maya, which we will now go into as we start the opening of the Helios Biblos. In the spirit of the Maya, which is the Lady of Liberty, which is what all so-called people who go to court a lot, like we will talk about from some of our shows, love to be in court, but never admonished one of them has ever mentioned the Maya, yet they in the courthouse of the Maya, which is the Lady Justice, yet they don't even acknowledge it. They claim to be scholars, but they won't acknowledge the origin of Lady Liberty. You don't acknowledge the origin of Lady Liberty, yet you sit in the courtrooms claiming to be whatever you're claiming, and then yet you can't even mention the Maya. Maybe that's why we can't get nowhere in the court, because we are leaving out major focuses of truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order, and righteousness. That's why you don't get no justice in Lady Liberty today, because I have not heard one of these people who go to court mention everything but the ancient Maya. They talking all this law about sovereignty and civil law and then common law. And I found out you ain't in no common law. It's over. Common law is English law. They gonna connect English law to God. Ain't that amazing? That's where they're getting all this from. Well, Black Law Dictionary says, Black Law Dictionary is an English book. English. taken from different Semitic, Aramaic, Sanskrit, and of course, Kemetic jurisdictions of language, which comes from also that same area where I told you put your compass at. Yet they up here in here in these courts talking about we gonna get how you gonna get justice in a Masonic court? They don't even want to answer that question because they skip around it. You ain't winning that. That's why only a few of you out here talking that stuff. Because it's only made for a few good men. And are you a few of those good men? I don't think so. Unless you're wearing the crest of Habsburg, the Habsburg Empire. I know y'all Nordic-loving people listening out there. We love the Nordic gods, but you won't even call on. They got these fake names on these shows, calling yourself all these comedic names at the same time. You deny everything when you get to that courtroom. You don't even mention none of that in your seminars. They don't mention none of that. But that's okay, because guess what? Reciprocity is a mother. And that's where we need to get a good understanding of that. And so we're going to continue on. I'm going to bring it. We are at four. Horus' birth was accompanied by three solar deities, stargazers, who followed the morning star of Sirius bearing gifts, Sirius bearing gifts. Y'all heard that? The morning star. Ain't that what Jesus claiming? It says, now Jesus' birth accompanied by three wise men. They were called the zodiac stargazers, who was followed by a star in the east bearing gifts. A star in the east, for you eastern stars, you bearing gifts. To who? Who you bearing gifts for? The preacher? You bearing gifts for the preacher. That's who you bearing gifts for. You ain't bearing gifts for the sun. Because if that was so, our people would be much more into who truly Isis is, O daughters. If you was truly Isis, our children would know the Trinity all by now. Wouldn't be having to go to shows like this. Or Dr. Clark and them guys go get beat down and Jay Rogers and Arthur Schoenberg and all the rest of the greats had to go and get spit on to prove their points. Sheikh Diyat getting spit on by the European hierarchy because his academia was so high they couldn't dispute it. So what they did was cut his funding off. No, he couldn't depend on no dead niggas to help him. Luckily, truth can't be stopped. That's why it's always in the midst. Justice in the midst, but it takes an action. It takes a verb, adverb. Means something got to be put into it. Let's keep going. I'm only go to 10. Then y'all see that. Three wise men. So when we see Christmas getting ready to come and we get this three wise men story, no, they talking about Sirius, Orion, great star of Giza, the great plateau of Giza, the great pyramids. Now we go into five, the birth of Horus announced by angels. Of course, you know Jesus, he was announced by the angel Gabriel. Notice that L at the end. For all the L. Everything's L. So this L stuff, hey, it's been around, okay? But where it come from? Saturn L. 8, Horus resisted temptation. I'll take that back, then I'm skipping 7. I'm skipping even 6. We're going to get, because this is getting good, he's next 4. It says, Heru tried to murder the infant Horus. Herod slaughtered every firstborn in an attempt to kill Jesus, the forthcoming of the Messiah. 7, Horus was baptized at 30 by Ampu, the baptizer at the river. Now here's Ampu, who holds the scales of the heart of the Mayat, before the 12 jurors. Now, here are people going into court, don't even tell our people where this is coming from. They want you to go into all this law that the European monarchs have created. Now, those of you who don't understand this, you go to Frederick the Great and look up Frederick the Great, and this is where these brothers are claiming they believe in. Frederick the Great of Germany. Told you they Nordic lovers. They don't even know why. It says he was baptized at 30, Jesus at 30, but John the Baptist and Pooh, John the Baptist and Pooh. Horus resisted temptation, that's 8, by the evil Set. Okay, S-E-T, Set. He was the precursor for the Hebrew Satan. So Set is Satan. A precursor for all you English teachers, Bible studying, get back about to go to church in about an hour, and you in the Bible class without a dictionary, shame on you. Because you're not giving them real etymology. Says the precursor to the Hebrew Satan on the mount. So that that goes before this Hebrew Israelite stuff. All this Hebrew Israelite stuff that's permeated off of the Masonic crossover. Got to tell about that Hebrew. Really? We'll get into that another time, but we're gonna figure that out too. We're gonna put an end to that. Not by my choice, but by historical data laid by the ancestors. Because how could it be the precursor? Precursor means way before. On the high mountain, Satan resists temptation by Satan on the high mountain. Jesus resisted it. He resisted Satan, which is set on a high mountain. Told you, just replace the words, everybody, into the right words. Instead of saying Mary, say Marie. I said, I'm Mary. You have to put the names in there. Horus had 12 disciples or 12 followers. Like I said, 12 jurors. Jesus had the same thing. Last one. Horus performed miracles like healing the sick, walking on water. And then Jesus somehow figures out how to do the same thing. And then 11. This is a good one, y'all. Horus raised somebody from the grave, his father Osiris. Jesus raises Lazarus. Notice the similarity of our graves. Lazarus is short for Lazarus, which is the us at the end of El Asur, derived from El Asur, which is the name of given to Osiris, El Asur. Lazarus is short for Eliasur, which is E-L-A-S-A-U-A-R-U-S, means us, okay? Was buried and resurrected in the city of Anu, A-N-U, and placed in Bethany, mentioned in John, and derived from the word Bet, B-E-T, and Anu, translated the house of Anubis, the house of Anubis, Anu. These are the things that makes me have to scratch my head and say, is that shit real or is Christianity faking? What's going on? So we seeing that there's a correlation in all this. Now, before I bring my guests on, I got to play this small clip, and then we're going to bring everybody on again. Small clip, just because I got to reiterate what we are saying to show the validity in what we are saying. So after this small clip, I'll start to bring in my brothers and sisters who are going to contribute to the sun rays of light of Horus. Be careful. I would suggest
over a century ago, renowned British Egyptologist Sir Dr. E. A. Wallace Budge, a keeper of the Egyptian and Assyrian antiquities at the British Museum, as well as a confessed Christian, remarked that a study tracing the influence of ancient Egyptian religious beliefs and mythology on Christianity would fill a comparatively large volume. Since Dr. Budge's time, for a variety of reasons, including the seemingly irreconcilable academic gap between historians and theologians, no one has taken up the call to produce such a volume until now. Destined to be a classic, enjoyed by both the professional scholar and the layperson, this comparative religion book contains a startling perspective of the extraordinary history of the Egyptian religion and its profound influence upon the later Christian faith. Christ in Egypt, The Horus Jesus Connection by D.M. Murdoch, also known as Acharya S., uses a massive amount of primary sources and the works of highly credentialed authorities in relevant fields to demonstrate that the popular gods Horus and Jesus possessed many characteristics and attributes in common. Drawing from thousands of ancient Egyptian texts in an assortment of translations along with the original language, as well as modern research in a number of other languages, controversial independent scholar of comparative religion and mythology, Ms. Murdoch, puts together an astonishing amount of fascinating information that shows many of our most cherished religious beliefs and concepts did not appear suddenly out of the blue, but have long histories in numerous cultures found around the globe, including and especially in the glorious land of the Pharaohs. If you thought part one of the official version of the movie Zeitgeist was interesting and wanted to learn more, here is the book you have been waiting for. Find out whether or not the following is true about the Egyptian god Horus. Horus was born on December 25th, or the winter solstice, in a manger. He was of royal descent, and his mother was the virgin Isis Mary. Horus's birth was announced by a star in the east and attended by three wise men. At age 12, he was a child teacher in the temple, and at age 30, he was baptized. Horus was baptized by Anup the Baptizer, who was decapitated. The Egyptian god had 12 companions, helpers, or disciples. Horus performed miracles, exorcised demons, and raised Osiris from the dead. The god walked on water. Horus was crucified between two thieves. He, or Osiris, was buried for 3 days in a tomb and resurrected. Horus, or Osiris, was also the way, the truth, the life, Messiah, the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, the Word of truth, etc. Horus was called Holy Child as well as the Anointed One, while Osiris was the Christ. Horus' battle with the Evil One, Set or Seth. Horus was to reign for 1,000 years. Christ in Egypt, the Horus-Jesus connection, uses thousands of primary source texts, such as the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Pyramid Texts, the Coffin Texts, the Hebrew and Greek Old Testaments, the Greek New Testament, Coptic Texts, and the writings of early church fathers. Christ in Egypt also includes research in the original languages such as Egyptian, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Christ in Egypt incorporates modern research in German and French with everything conveniently translated for your ease of reference. Christ in Egypt further includes a brand new map of Egypt specifically created by the author with all the relevant place names. Christ in Egypt further provides 60 plus illustrations, contains almost 2,400 citations and footnotes, frequently annotated in the old school manner at the bottom of each page. Christ in Egypt includes an extensive, user-friendly table of contents and index, and provides a massive bibliography of over 900 sources, including books by respected publishers and peer-reviewed journals. The citations provide.
Now, yeah, I heard that. Let's be honest. For those who read the Helios or the Bible in his terms, know that Jesus escapes to Egypt after Herod does this so-called trying to kill the firstborn. He escapes into Egypt. How is that missed and not even discussed? And when people come to you with this, y'all take it as being a joke. How can it be not a joke when your own Savior runs to Egypt? He goes there to hide out for a numerous amount of years, if you want to take it literally. So literally, he goes there, if you take it that way, but it, you know, I'm just putting that word in there because it is a word for it. He goes there, escapes, and no one looks for him for numerous years because he appears, you know, later on. So what temple was he teaching at? You know, you got to ask yourself these questions if you're going to be really serious about the journey that is about to be partaken. So We're going to go on. I'm going to bring in one of my brothers and a sister, and let me see, I got a couple of people online. We're going to get deep into this conversation here. Give me a little help here. We mentioned the Laments of Hermes of Egypt, and I'm telling everybody that to get these books, to look them up, make us a liar if you can. That way you continue to come listening to us once you find you can't. That'll be a beautiful thing. So, and tell others about this because they need to have something to do on Sunday to raise their elevation because the rest of the day is pretty much filled with foolishness. So, this is why we ask some people to get your high noon ready, your mind, your crown ready because we need to take it to this level. I got brother, I think, 8848. I got 8557. On the line, are y'all out there? Who I have out here? 8557.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. Dry Bones, greetings. This is brother Sean.
Yeah. There we go. All right, there we go. And then I got bring in a couple of y'all, and we're gonna go through this while we're going here. I got 1877, and then who is 8848?
Myself, Malika.
All right, so we got four of you on the line. Good. You outnumbered today, brother. I got Sister in Georgia. And let me just ask y'all, y'all been listening to this. And I'm bringing you shortly out of New York. I see you there in New York. I'll bring you in shortly. Y'all been hearing this. What is the problem, y'all think, in us able to clearly see this connection in all that we talk about? Especially in the Western world. Go ahead, brother Sean. Then I'm going to ask your sisters to chime in on that.
Well, in my humble opinion, considering some of the extensive research and studies of the Bible, of the monotheistic religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and also studying the languages. Again, the language is probably the most important barrier or obstacle, if you will, to getting a thorough and accurate and complete understanding of the scriptures, of the names, of the places, the titles, and what these names and places ultimately mean. For example. And I hope everyone, the audience, they have either their pen or paper handy, or if they are online, utilizing an online Bible. Again, blueletterbible.org is an easy and a convenient online Bible where you can just plug in or type in chapters and verses to follow along. So one example I'll give you is from John chapter 1, verse 41, and this is coming from the King James Version. So make sure you're using the King James Version if you're going to follow along with the chapters and verses that I'm going to be mentioning. So that's John chapter 1, verse 41, and it reads, "The Messiah, which is being interpreted, Christ." And again, the interpretation of what people or what people are calling or being associated with the Christ or Christos, we know, which is a Greek word meaning anointed, or the translation or definition is anointed one. But when you use words that have been created, like you mentioned earlier, created by the use or addition of vowels, A, E, I, O, U, and Y. So that changes the meaning of the word. And so without a understanding or overstanding of the language and the language in which the scriptures were revealed, you really wouldn't be able to pinpoint or get an accurate what we say, edification of the scriptures at all. So you have to do some historical research, some geographical research, and a little bit of being an archaeologist as well. Now, of course, we have to rely on the information and the resources that are made available to us. Now, certainly, none of us in this day and time were born or were living back during those days, so we're at a loss. In reality, we are at a loss because we have no way of really verifying. So we're left to kind of utilize the tools and the resources that have been made available to us. But like I said, in my opinion, with some research,
and just
a little bit of commitment, you can, you know, kind of uncover and start to expose some of the inconsistencies.
Exactly. Now let me say this about verifying, and then we take some more, and then we get into this more. Verifying, enlightened to see, it's already been there. If we look at all facets of our life, it comes from some source of a system of belief inculcated to the next generation. Basically, from our law to our so-called eating, so-called whatever, it has already been laid. We would never know how to cure meat. We would never know how to do cultivation. Something had to be a forefront for it to carry into the next millenniums of thought to be added, to be manifest into what we have today. Our people have been, and I gave y'all the clue, and I'm giving them, y'all are under the corpus hermeticus. I'm just telling you, this is what they do. Egyptology is a study of the dead. That's why Napoleon came up with this stuff. They tell you themselves, like the brother said, words, go look it up. How could you have an Egyptology? It's impossible. They are studying something, and they decided to study how to bring down what was brought down as above, so below, and this is something that we all got to look at. They left us clues in stone. That's big enough for me. When I see the architecture design of some of these temples, and I see the bull crap that we are doing today, it is not even comprehensively the same. The intricate gold, the intricate inlays of how they was able to take the smallest little pieces and make it almost so precise in measurement. These were not ignorant people. Now, become upon us is, why are we so ignorant today about what has taken place? And that's where we're going to have to get to the bottom of this investigation. Go ahead. I see Sister 1877. Get online, please. You got anything to say to help us bring into this?
Good morning, Dry Bones, and to the listeners.
Good morning, sir.
I just wanted to say to you that the correlation between Horus and Jesus is phenomenal. And I just hope that the listeners who are have been raised on the Bible, and it's kind of hard to shake the Jesus story because we've been, you know, we've been embedded in it for so many years. But this right here, what you put forth is evidence, you know, evidence because of, like you said, and like Sean said, we don't want to research and actually read and look back. But you gave us that clip that actually pointed out books. Historians have written books. The horror story is, you know, on the temples. It was there before the Jesus story. And then I really appreciated the Joseph. I never thought about that. Joseph has a PH in it, okay? And it has a J in it. And we all know that language came, well, we all don't know. I'm going to say that. But most of us know that the J had just been developed in the Greek language between 400 to 500 years ago. And, of course, Jesus was supposed to have been here 2,000 years ago. So if we just apply common sense as well and to that point and to the simulation of Horus and Jesus, we would know that the whole Jesus story was plagiarized and was created to enslave us, to voluntarily welcome us into the Christianity world. And so I think that was really great. And so I also have, I like what you ended when you were talking about Jesus going back to Egypt. You know, well, they're taking, they're running to Egypt for their life or whatever. But I just also wanted to point out the scriptures that relate to what you were just stating. And that would be Matthew 2, verses 12. And it says that soon after, Joseph was again warned by an angel in a dream. The angel said, get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And that's in Matthew 2, verses 13 as
now,
well.
Now, that's two. That's right. And now let's look at that for a moment before we take another. It said, wake up, go to Egypt, mean cover. Egypt was a cover. Egypt was secure by supposedly this God being telling him to go there. Y'all getting this? A God being told this dude to take his stepchild, who was incarnated with the invisible semen, to go into this lady who was a virgin and told him to get up and go into ancient Canaan to be secured until I tell you to come out. So that means he had to go, the God that was going to tell him to come out had to go to Kemet himself and say, where is he? So that means the commissions had a contact with the gods, if you want to take that story to the real deal. Can y'all preachers handle that? Can you preachers handle that? That's the question. Y'all make a noise. I got to turn you off. When I start to hear noise, somebody got to be turned off. So that means somebody is actually going to there to talk to them as a representative of God. Go ahead, my light. Now, let me go bring in Sister 88 voice. My sister, who I consider our international connection for the Dry Bones Connection, she went to a seminar. She's not going to discuss that seminar in length. We're just going to let you know that on Wednesday, when we set the record straight, she's going to bring in that information, going to give her a little time to discuss her. I mean, she went to a seminar with a sister who brought in masonry for the Caribbean. And, of course, it was very covert because they took the lady off of the website for Books and Books, which is a prominent bookstore. And yet, I called, and it, of course, Michael called. She had the inside scoop. They did have it. Just to give a little brief introduction how she was going to bring in that information, how this was connected to, because this woman was a Mason, y'all. See, go to show you that, brother, every time a woman can't be a Mason. See, y'all are pathetically, irrationally, masculinity dumb. If you go and put in Google women Masons, they will pop up everywhere. See, this is how dumb we are. But Sister, go ahead. Was that a great experience for you? And how did you think? And how do you see this correlation from Horus, Jesus, and even some of the things that you've been involved with?
Well, thank you for your program. First of all, my trajectory is one where I was raised in the Episcopalian Church, and then I wanted to get into the Yoruba religion somehow, some way, and that's because my father was into spiritualism, but my mother was not. So I ended up going into the evangelical church, a born-again Christian, and while being in there, I started listening to that inner voice of mine where it would let me know about, you know, the false doctrines and the false, quote-unquote, evangelists that would come into the church and preach about prosperity and faith. While in there, the first thing that the Creator showed me was based on Yirmiyahu, which is what people call Jeremiah 2:1-5, and it clearly spoke to me about the celebration of what people call nowadays Christmas. I went to the pastor. pastor at that point in time, and the pastor just patted my shoulder, and I told him, how can you, you know, do you know about this? He said, yes, I do, and you are right, you know. I says, well, if you know about this, then why don't you let the congregation know? Again, he patted my shoulder, and he said that we need to know about Jesus. Okay, so then the Creator brought about a book to my path called by the author. His name is Lewis White, and it's called Fossilized Customs. And in this book, I started reading in reference to the name. And to tell you the truth, not only did it blow my mind away, but I got very angry. My reaction is about anger because I started saying, goodness gracious, you know, all this time I've been calling out a pagan name. And
what was the name?
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. So, you know, Jesus derives from Zeus, and that's what I learned. And then I learned what you had explained, that the letter J did not exist. So I started realizing that everything had to do with the language, like Brother Sean said. The language, the original status of the language, you know, going back to the, in this case, I was going back to Hebrew, and then the Creator gave me an ultimatum inside a church, it told me, I have shown you truth, and you either stay in the church and suffer the consequences, or get out. And I obeyed, and I got out, and in the time period that I was on my own, suddenly from the church that I had encountered the pastor about the Christmas celebration,
yeah.
It turned
out that
there were brothers and sisters that had left just like me because of what the Creator had showed me, had showed to them. And I started observing Shabbat with them. So they were like, we started calling ourselves Nazarene Israelites. But then
right, which was like almost a Hebrew type of doctrine a little bit, because you were following the Sabbath, which was what, sundown Saturday. When did they shut?
It's just very little bit because that's the thing with what happened to me, that I separated from these brothers because I started having a revelation that Shabbat was not on Friday evening. It was on, it's on, you know, the sun going up and the sun going down on Saturday. So, you know, it's been very hard for me in reference to the Kenneth, and I'm glad that you put these programs because, you know, I'm learning, but it's been hard for me to put together the kinetic stance with what I, you know,
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this because you've been listening. Now, what we're saying is you take that same Jesus story. Take the same Jesus story and take his name out. And just put in Horus.
Yeah, I don't.
Isis, put in Isis, and you will start to.
I call him, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, even the name, now, we are being brought into this because, see, all this time got that same teaching with the Yahweh. Those of you know about the Yahweh, or just some of y'all too scared to say that, say Jehovah. And all this stuff will still lead you, no matter what you want to say, it's going to lead you back to that same region we talked about, no matter what. No matter what, it's becoming clear to everybody that there's something phenomenal going on this planet. And, of course, revelation People are starting to wake up. We're becoming, the sun is moving closer, or we're moving closer to the sun orbit. The sun is becoming more powerful. The planetary shifts, the planets are becoming more extreme. The moon is doing things. There's something going on in the heavens as above, and so shall be below. These are doctrines that came out of Kemet that is being told to you in a way, I'm going to take that right, told to you in a way where the reason why this particular doubt comes in our mind because we've been taught this particular way too long. If you've been told to lie for so long, and this is in your book, Bibles, if you find them scriptures for me, y'all can, it says they will believe a lie as the truth and the truth as a lie. That's part of the writings that was placed in the Bible. The Bible is a duality book. It has good and evil in it. Brother Sean and I was discussing dualities. Good and evil is simultaneously at the same time. You got to have both. I got to take people off because I'm hearing way too much noise. And so this is what's happening. This is what's happening. You are having duality at the same time. And so good is looking evil, and evil is looking good to a lot of people. So, of course, when we go through these stories, it makes this truth sound evil. No matter how much information we can give or how much proof the earth has given up and gave up, however much it seemed like it was hit in the head and it's unconscious. It's like it's unconsciousness is going on at the same time because people are seeing it, and then we'll give all glory to the Hebrews. Then we'll give all glory to Islam. Then we'll give all glory to the Moors and all these groups. And then when I go to look up these Moorish leaders, when I go to look up these Islamic leaders, I find they become initiated in Egypt. The initiation, I mean, we're going to do a show on that real soon. I got all the names. Including Noble Jouari. Had to go to Egypt. They just not popping up as sages. They're just not popping up as enlightened men out of the clear blue. There's a system of where it came out of that is still being carried out, and it has spread particularly in that area of Africa and Asia and some of South America. I don't want to leave South America out, but then those are the people that has on those parallel lines. Of course, that system has permeated across. It's a lot of energy going on, everybody, but it's going in darkness. And because of what we're talking about, set, sunset, nighttime, dark time is ruling. Prince of darkness. That's why Satan got the name Prince of Darkness. Because he said, I don't know why that's hard for a lot of people to see now. See, Hebrewism has been a big problem for our people. I will name the person next week who started Hebrewism in America. Old gentleman, 1800s. All this is 1800s. Mystifying, what's that, Madame Blavatsky and all that world religion that permeated. Because remember, I'm going to give it to you simple. Western world America was in such a dumbing down from 1800s to the late 1900s. Effort to dumb down the population was so great that all of the eugenicist science, all of your crazy mentality, Masonic, Illuminati, all those characters, the infancy came during that 1750 to that 1850, and that's when they just went hog wild. And then when they opened up the release gate into the New Babylon, all of the Eastern sages, all of the Eastern enlightenment knew that the light was coming on this side. So they flew over here. They was even given money to come. Someone was put and told to strategically place themselves in urban centers because at that time the old South was changing into a new transformation of the North. So all those Southern blacks who had just been ridiculed with dumbness is now permeated into the northern cities for the new industrial enlightenment. So all of these sages came, Detroit, Chicago, set up their little sets and said they was going to resurrect the black man. That's what they said. Only thing they resurrected now is stores all over your community. That's what they resurrected. They resurrected a cartel of business that is now funding back to the East to fund their holy jihad. Now, whether or not you believe it, that's on you. Just do the research, do the news. And good news means, when you look at the word good, everybody, that says Jesus brought the good news, the word good means one who brings in factual information. Look it up in a dictionary. And the word news means current events. So one who brings factuality to the current events at the time, of the time. And if you don't see that the Enlightenment came over here, set up their little temples, their little mosques, their little setups, gave the blacks that was coming out of ignorance a new beacon of light, but who advantages was it for? Was it for the East or was it for the West? Because the House of Saud is not coming to tell you anything. And let's talk about Islam, who have defaced the pyramids and who are the helpers in the defacement of the natural archives by the great Kemetic people. Have you seen what you just heard earlier? He said the greatest academia of the world from England is over there. From Germany is over there. From Switzerland, the Nordic lovers who are over there digging in the earth are now defacing them and putting in new pictures. Ashwa Kwesi, I had to give him credit. All them who's recently been telling us all this. He's over in Europe right now talking to the British individuals over there, Ashwa and his wife, doing what they used to do here. I believe he talked probably to a lot of island people and a lot of Africans, because that's a lot of people from Africa, and we'll be showing on WW Drive On Connection that we're not oblivious to Africa, so rich today, but look who is the takeover. They're the takeover, y'all. They're taking over the most plush. It is beautiful. I mean, they got some more. Just go on YouTube and look up beautiful Africa. You will be like, damn, that is off the chain magnificence. I mean, beauty beyond. But then, where is beauty? There's not. And it's going to be where it's overwhelming, the balances. That's where you get that scripture, hanging the balance by Daniel, wanton. Even though you have, you are in wanton. Your kingdom hangs in the balance. That's where we at. The kingdoms are being held in balance right now, and they're about to go out of balance based off the Maya. How do I know that? Well, let's talk for a minute. Let me bring in some more, y'all. Let me get in New York. 7981. 7981, please make a comment or a question you want to add to the enlightenment.
7981. I just want to talk about.
That's you.
I've been to Africa. My name is Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yes. There you go, bro.
Now, I've been to Africa, I've been to Egypt, been to seven cities over there. And all the cities that my wife and I went to, we asked them about Hebrew Israelites being enslaved over in Egypt. Everyone we spoke to said, what? Nah, that's American myth. It never happened. Ancient Egyptians were peaceful people. Peaceful people. And they never enslaved anybody, period. The only place you could find that is in James Stewart's Bible.
Yes, brother. Now, let me ask you, because I know you, we're going to talk for a minute, because I know you was there. We got pictures of one of my brothers here. We go way back. And we started to learn ourselves. It was a hard journey, wasn't it? We was in that Hebrew.
Absolutely.
Ism.
Absolutely.
We was hardcore, y'all. We had to wake up
all over again.
Yeah, we had to redo our thinking. We had to redo our thinking. And this is one of the brothers that was real into it. As well as I was, coming to Miami, coming to Florida, going all over the place. And when we all started learning about this new journey, many of us had reservations about it. But I believe when you went, and we all talked about that, when you went, and you came back, you can see that spirit that you seen in that in the pyramid. Tell them how much power, brother, you felt over.
Absolutely. Well, the largest pyramids on the Great Plateau we went to, and it's not a hard task, easy task rather, getting in it. You go 90 feet up, 114 feet down just to get in it. Just to get in it. And you don't walk right into it like you do a house. And when you get in there, you can literally feel the energy inside the pyramid. You can feel the energy inside the pyramid. And all that stuff they show you on TV about all these writings, all that stuff inside, it's not there. It's not there. It is not there. And that's when I was there, wow, this is totally opposite of what they show us on TV, the so-called Ten Commandments, that garbage. That's just another tool of deception. And they've been watching that for the last 20 years, and you getting to see 20 years of deception. That's what that is. That's exactly what that is. 20 years of deception, a Hollywood theatrics, and that's what the brothers in Nubia, that's what the brothers in Abu Simbel told my wife and I. That's Hollywood in the making. That never happened here. It never happened. Egyptians, ancient Egyptians, never enslaved anybody. They were peaceful people. Never enslaved anybody. And you have to go there and see it for yourself, especially the outside of the pyramid, where it shows you all the stuff that they contributed to society that Europeans now are saying they did. But I know better. They did none of
that's
that.
Right.
They stole it. They stole it all. Everything they had now, they stole and made it their own. We did.
And they now
take it.
And now you went some it wasn't that long ago, but it's been a couple of years now, but not that long. You were saying that the surrounding places, how they were like unclean compared to
it's two different Cairos. You got a Cairo for people of color that look exactly like we do, that live some of what like we do here in the ghettos. Then you have outside of that city where it's plush. I mean, stuff made out of gold, literally out of gold. They're in the middle of it. They don't show you all this. They don't show you all this. They show you the wild part of so-called Africa to make you believe it's like this all over that country when it's not. When it's not. It's nothing but a tool of deception. That's all it is. Tool of deception. They want to keep us blinded from what's really going on over there because they always taught you coming up in this so-called Bible everything negative about Egypt. 100% negativity about Egypt. Why is that? Because they know what we don't know. They also know what we should know. Once you get back
that's
to
right.
your original, then you'll start realizing the things that they've been teaching you was all wrong. And I was in Islam for the better part of my life, born into it.
That's right.
56 years old, born into it. I had to
that's
change
right.
that all together. You know, so I just wanted them to know that when I was over there, when we talked to the villagers in Abu Simbel and Nubia, Luxor, they told us no way. And they look just like we do. They look just like we do. You got your Arabs over there, but for the most part, the people over there look exactly like we do.
And that's because now, let me ask you, because when we came back and we was all having our talk, you know, we get together on a regular basis when I come up. It's almost like only a few of us accepted that transformation, and there's a lot of brothers, for some strange reason, with all that you have seen, will still deny the fact of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I took your men to figure, I know how we did. It was kind of, it's depressing in a way when you think you're coming back with some enlightenment and they look at you like it's like
I was crazy. Like I wasn't talking about Yahweh. I wasn't talking about the brotherhood. I wasn't talking about stuff that really had a 1,000-pound anchor on me, holding me down, keeping me back. And I respectfully say that. I don't say that with no ill intent. I respectfully say that for all the brothers that still into that. I respect what they're into, but they just have to elevate their mind 100% more. That's all. Get elevated.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, because we still got love. We still got love for our brothers and sisters, but it seems that, you know, it gets to a point where the religious system has made them, made anybody who outside of the Western thought enemy subconsciously. You know, people understand this quite well. You're making people enemies who really are just coming with information that you say fulfilling in your life. Many people say we want to learn more, we want to do more, and so forth. Now, let me ask you, man, on that trip that I made over there, you seen some things that were. Are they starting to lock down some of the areas of the pyramids that we just found out recently from the last show?
They're starting to lock down everything. They got it so that you can't even take pictures no more. But we had it so that even when we were there, that we give them a couple of dollars and the brothers will let us take pictures. Because they're all about that American dollar.
Right.
We give them a couple of dollars, they let us take some pictures. But they're locking everything down because they don't want you to take it back and show it. They want to keep showing you all the negatives about Africa on TV, which is a whole other story. Everything they show you on TV is not the same as you looking at it with your own eyes. That's why I say most brothers and sisters should get a chance, if they get a chance to get over there, go over there and see it for themselves, and it'll change their minds. It will really change their minds, especially being inside the pyramids. It's an awesome feeling.
And now you, being a brother of knowledge, now you've seen all the Masonic symbols there. And I knew you know them already from what we was already in. All that we've been in, and anybody who knows about that. Go ahead and tell them how many.
I heard earlier that people, all the other brothers, had to go back to Egypt to be raised. I was so-called raised in Egypt, okay?
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
At the first Grand Lodge. At the first Grand Lodge, so you know it's more than what people think it is. It's more than what people think it is, and these teachers and pastors don't want it. They don't even talk about it. They know it because most of them are so-called Masons. Also, they know about it. They ain't gonna tell you about it because that's a money business. Start telling their congregation about that. You know how far that gonna go? That money ain't coming in now. So they can't say that, but they know about it.
That's right, that's right, and that's what's up. That's what's up. So you see, y'all, we bringing in character witnesses on the Dry Bone Connection show. Now we don't just bring in any people. We bring in, and y'all seen these shows. Y'all know we coming with factual information. This is talk shows where facts matters and facts must matter. We just showed you a brother who's been through different dichotomies, Islam, Hebrewism, and came to a realization of what really has taken place from both of those. And that's what's happened. It's a self-analogy, y'all. Y'all have to make that decision yourself. Can you handle the truth? That's the whole question. The whole question is, can you handle the truth? Outside of that, you might be a lovely person. You might be the best babysitter in the world. You know, we ain't got no problem with all that. Let me go to some more calls, brother. Hang tight. I'll bring more of y'all back in here. Go to 5235. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead. Make a statement.
Say that. Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay.
Just at the beginning of the book,
how they would say that 6 days he created, and the seventh day he rested. Well, we know that the earth is way older than 6,000 years old. I mean, that's a reality.
Even in Egypt.
It's not saying these gods and stuff is real. These gods was the name of elements. See, because that's why in elements it starts with the EL, because that's what it's about, the natural element, the natural gases, Amun Ra, even though we say Amun Ra, but it's really Amun Ra. That's why it's called the sun rays. It's talking about the power of the sun. Horus, we're talking about the rising of the sun. You know, just everything is about the elements, and these are the names that we named them back in ancient Egypt. So now when they came and then stole it and transferred everything and made it humanized because all they did was put personification on elements. That's all they did.
That's it.
Put personification on elements, you know, on elements. So now when you see when elements come together, one must have to die off in order to carry out its function. So when you hear of, just say, like Absalom killing somebody, they're actually just talking about the elements. That's why what they mean by allegory, you know, metaphor,
mm-hmm.
assembly, you know, and all this different stuff. They're really talking about something else. And then just our psychic in our minds can know that none of that stuff is not real because we wouldn't be in the terrible times that we're into.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't even fit in it into reality that we can't even use our common sense on something that's common. And so it got us all divided and everything. And we can't get nowhere because we're thinking there's something or some power outside of that's breathing no air, that's not breathing no air, that's out there in space, that's worried about your well-being, but our kids and everybody, and we steady being slaughtered every day. Who
every
is
day.
God, that's every day.
You know,
that's,
I'm glad
that's
you brought
really
that up, man.
Dear God. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that. Let's for a minute stay with me, and we're going to ask a few questions on that. You well versed as well. I know my area quite well. One thing about us, we always been into this for a long time, talking about these type of incidents. Have you noticed how when we read this Bible, and you mentioned the allegories and so forth, even when we talk about it, even say for in literal terminology, it still wouldn't make sense. So it has to be something behind that. It can't be where one minute you have in two people in one chapter, the next minute you got two boys that she supposedly has, and then the next chapter there's nobody but these particular four people. Next chapter they got a wives. See, it's not put together. You see what I'm saying? How it's choppy. Wouldn't it make sense that in our minds and in some of the other listeners that there's got to be something that was kept out of that book. The book is very void of some information that is vital to make it seem, to make it feel complete. How do you see that completion coming in the understanding of this? Because you had to go through something to get your understanding. What do you think it takes for people to get an understanding of what we're talking about?
Well, I would say for one thing, of course, researching and studying, then I know they take that 2:15 where it says study and show thyself approved workman need not to be ashamed to divide the word of truth. But it's a difference between studying and researching. See, because,
right.
Again, you can just study what you into, but that's still you're not studying the 360 degrees of everything. You see what I'm saying? So you just studying, let's take the Jehovah's Witness, and I'm not singling them out. But if they just studying what they're being taught, well, then when you ask them something that has anything to do with that, they can't answer it. They can't even go
right.
into it. And you know what I'm saying? And then also, it's a great tragedy how we don't go by what the books say. We go by how we want to interpret, because it never mentions the Son of God. It say the Son of Man all day, but it never mentions the Son of God. And,
right.
You know, here it is, we know how to build, here it is, we know how Noah's Ark was built, because just to let you know if the biblical text has any validity, how is it you know how Noah's Ark was built, but you don't know how the pyramids was built? But yet, both of them supposed to have been in the same beginning.
Yeah.
You know,
you can tell. Yeah, you can tell all that's very great. You can tell all the dimensions of Noah's Ark. It's right there. Then when you really find out the dimensions, it's no bigger than a football field and no higher than a 25-foot building. That's impossible. So, yeah, I feel you on that one. Good point, excellent point. But you cannot tell me anything. You can even tell me how King Solomon supposedly, the length of this mysterious building, is not there today, just one wall. But you can't tell me anything of the measurements that it took to rebuild and redo this again on them pyramids. It's amazing, man. Good point, Tim. Let me get a few more calls and stay with us. Let me get some more people in here. I just want y'all to know how we are trying to make sense to those out here and who are listening on the internet. Go to www.drybonesconnection.com. You will see that we have a rare information on there. So simple. Just click on, and we have our shows. The archives are there. You can just click on the archives and just listen to these shows again. This will be a beautiful one. Get your pen and paper out. Listen to some of the things that we are saying. But I just want y'all to realize that we are talking about this because our existence seems to always have some type of foundation with ancient symbolism. We mentioned going to court. We mentioned this is your social livelihood. Us going to these churches is based off some type of ritual that was given to us through some time frame that we are following. Now, we mentioned last week, and the brother mentioned also, and Wednesday we'll be doing Set the Record Straight. We will host that show. Hopefully we get Brother Sean, Sister Keela, Brother Montu to come on, and Sister Dorothy, Lieutenant Dorothy, on Wednesday. We're trying to set that up, and we'll do a full corner presentation on the four horsemen, so to speak, but they be called Keep the Record Straight. We'll talk about that later on as the show goes on. But back to where we're at with this. Kapha and Pooh, the black dog, the black star dog, all the temple locations, the line out of the tribe of Judah. Amen. When you say amen at the end of a prayer, amen. You don't know amen. Say it all the time. Amen. You know, don't know why. You're saying things like Yahweh. When his name could not be Yahweh, it was thought Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh. It's a four-consonant abbreviation. And then when you get deep into that, you find out Yahweh, which we would never learn until we did our study, that it has a female component. Understand as well, there's not one God on the planet Earth that does not have a female counterpart. Just because you was not told about her does not mean it does not exist. When you start to do your research, you find that there is a female counterpart with Yahweh. Yahweh is the four elements. The four elements, as we spoke earlier, is the consonants for Yahweh. Look it up, and that's where all this is coming from. Symbolism. Symbolism that has been given to our people at a young age to not to understand it. If you were not taught this, you could not be wise about it. You wouldn't know about it. But you got your kids going to colleges studying Greek thought, Greek mythology, pledging Greek. Then when you do what? Wow, all this Greek stuff will lead you back to Hermes and Thoth and all these stories of Hercules, Zeus. These are stories that are coming from an ancient perspective that we all find out come out of now Kemet again. Then why don't we teach it from the beginning, y'all? Why are we taking third-hand information? Just like you tell us on these brothers with more, that you can't have a third party. You allowed using the Bible. That's a third-party book. You're using a third-party book. You don't go in there saying it, but you know it's third-party. That book ain't the book. That's not the book they be having in the Grand Temples. So,
Brother,
you know, tell the truth. Go ahead, Brother Sean. Go ahead. Make some statement.
Just wanted to direct the listeners to Exodus chapter 7, verse 10, 11, and 12. And you just mentioned, and I appreciate Brother Muhammad Ali providing his firsthand experience in Egypt. If everyone can turn to Exodus chapter 7, verse 10 through 13, and it reads, it says, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. The Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did like manner in their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod was swallowed up by their rods. And the allegory that's concealing the actual science that's taking place there. And like the other brother mentioned, when you use these names such as El and Amun, these are scientific names. El, as it relates to the elements, and he's 100% correct and accurate. The elements on the periodic table of elements of chemistry, that's why it's called Kemet, dealing with chemistry again. So these wise men, these sorcerers, and these magicians all are utilizing science to perform these miracles. And so they became known as sorcerer, magi, wizards, magicians, and things of that nature. It's all based on science. And so your scientists today that are transmutating metals, that are performing, transforming DNA, manipulating DNA, manipulating genes, manipulating metals, it all goes down to the atom, the electron, the protons, the neutrons, the what's called quantum, the small, the quantum physics. And I mentioned during the first Helios Biblios show, Amun is talking about to see. Amun Ray. Ray means to see. Ray or Ra means to see, and Amun means hidden, to see that which is hidden. The hidden elements or particles in quantum physics. So we're dealing with scientists. So the religious ideology was given, like I mentioned before, as part of the lesser mysteries. And the masters of the greater mysteries are the ones who are giving us electricity, like Commonwealth Edison and Tico. So all your electric companies are the masters of the greater mysteries, because they are the ones that control and have us consuming, paying, obviously, money and currency for energy. That's where your learned men, your scholars, your academic professionals, experts, they all studied the ancient Egyptian sciences. They were not religious men. They were not Christians. They were not Muslims. They were not Jews. But, however, they are concealing and parading around as imposters, like you mentioned, the House of Saud. They are not Muslims. They are energy, purveyors of energy. That's it. That's all they're concerned about. So these different, monotheistic religions are nothing more than a scam. All it is a scam. So as you research further, you need to start researching the energy, the scientific application of what, the ancient civilizations were talking about.
That's right. Now, let me say this, and I'm bringing up right in, because we're going to the bottom of the hour. I might play one small clip, but this, I want you to make sure y'all look up Asclepius, S-A-S-C-L-I-E-P-I-U-S, Asclepius. Asclepius says in his writings, which is the most profound in the Greek record world, says, and I'm back with this brother set up on another layer. He says, Egypt was the land of magic. It said what was meant to be the image between heaven and the Egyptians was always their utmost to make it into the heavens. Then it goes on to say, now this is what I found to be very profound, y'all. Listen to what it says here. It says that the Egyptians, according to Hermes and them, they said the ancient Egyptians stated that their ancient statues were alive and were even able to walk, a prosperous notion to us. As we all know, a ton of rock and a pedestal are impossible to move on its accord. It only because the deities that were believed to inhabit them actually did not exist, right? Some people, that's the question, right? They have found, everybody, in museums around the world where Egyptian statues have moved out of their positions. It was on a museum in Scandinavia and on their headlines and in England where they showed that these statues actually move throughout the year. Y'all look that up if y'all may think I'm making it to you. It also says, and we were talking about this earlier, this is how deep this book is about what they're talking about. It mentions that this was the death of Egypt. They were saying how this can happen to such a land. And then it went on to say that all the elements of the universe, therefore, could be controlled. That's what it says. It says the magicians felt, that's what the Egyptians, Kemetic Egyptians felt, that they were part of the united micro and macrocosm, the joint of God, to invoke prayer and consecrated thought with human consciousness. When it was supreme union was achieved, the subject and the object became one. And the magician felt that he was consciously in touch with all elements of the universe, therefore he could achieve the subject and object became one. Elements, periodic table, mutation, alchemy. That's what they're talking about here. And it says that with that, they can control elemental powers. Now, again, we're talking about something that is obtainable, obviously, because these people who have the higher degree of knowledge, the electric companies, the water companies, these companies that have huge power over nature, huge power over nature, and I missed the day. So we need y'all to understand that you are under the control of some high sorcery, even if you don't believe it. Even if you don't believe it, just think about it. You have no control over your water supply whatsoever at all. You have no way of directing natural water to you, no more than any other type of water toward you, other than to turn on that faucet, and it's coming from those who are in control. Because we have not and have given away our key to knowledge. Now, again, we're going to be to the bottom of the hour, y'all, and I'm just going to play a small clip again because I need y'all to understand this. It's not something that we should take lightly about this fall here. This thing happened at a major time. European powers were called the Dark Ages. From these European powers, something happened. Something happened to us.
To understand a
go
history
back in time.
That is not a history based in slavery, but a history based in royalty.
Human civilization started in Africa.
Some of the first architectural systems, some of the first engineering systems, some of the first governmental systems.
After visiting Egypt, white scholar Count Constantine Duvalny wrote, "Just think, the race of black men today, our slave and object of our scorn, is the very race to which we owe our arts, sciences, and even the use of speech."
In order to justify the economic drive of the slave trade, there had to be the denigration of black people. And so people began to see these sculptures of people with clear Afroid features. It was just incontrovertible. The facts, the reality that black people had designed this civilization.
Ignore. Just refuse to publish any facts of African history that don't go along with our racial theories.
When black contribution to civilization is too obvious, let's find a way to attribute it to outside white influence.
Return to Glory, the powerful stirring of the black man. Based upon the book endorsed by such esteemed men like Bill Cosby, Julius Erving, Tony Evans, Tony Campolo, Ben Carson, Ivan Van Sertima, Bishop Eddie Long, and many others, narrated by Adrian Branch.
Everybody always wants to know, what did my ancestors?
Now, I just wanted to play that little clip for you. I am so shocked that Eddie Long endorsed that book. He must have found something on the pedophilia side, because I ain't see that part yet, but that's just shocking. I had to laugh at that. I said, Eddie Long. I just scratched my head. Said, did he say Eddie Long? That must have been when he was, he must have been, is that where you all the, you know, everybody's in Atlanta today. Ray Hagin in Atlanta. Maybe Ray Hagin was his teacher. I don't know. Ray Hagin taught him. So somehow I just didn't see Eddie Long telling us to go to Egypt. I just don't see that one, but hey, if Eddie Long told y'all in Atlanta to go to Egypt, y'all call me on Dry Bones Connection and go to www.drybullockaday.com. Email me some type of clip showing me that Eddie Long told y'all to go back to Egypt. Because I just don't, that one was kind of deep there. But let's get back to the reality. Count Vardy. Count Vardy was around the European Enlightenment. He hung out with Benjamin Franklin. He hung out with Thomas Jefferson. These were your Illuminists. Not that the Illuminati was wicked, but this was your European elites of knowledge that they have the books now. They were writing books. They were publishing books. Martin Luther, the Gutenberg up in Germany, all that putting together the printing press, the first Bible, the Vulgate, all this was, they were happy they could read now. Remember, they wasn't even reading. I'm not making it up. They said it. It's obvious they weren't reading. They just got books. Just got books. Okay? Probably about, what, 16-something? So they started learning how to read and make books. Here it came with that King James Version, all that stuff. So Vulgate, King James, all this stuff. Latin Bible, Dark Bible. Just know they made some Bibles. Everybody had one. They even had door-to-door Bible salesmen in Europe at that time. Go look it up. I don't think that was in Hidden Colors. But nonetheless, all I know is that Count Vardy was around saying that we are now engulfed in a slave trade, and that slave trade is now what? Making us huge amounts of money. We got the shipping lanes now given up by the Moors for the wars they had over there in Tripoli and all that. The Moors lost all their power. They went down. And I ain't too mad about that because the Moors was not no great group of black folks. I don't care how y'all want to paint them. Well, y'all give me some information, show me that they did not help in the defacement of the pyramids, and I'll be happy to recant what I just said. So y'all got a chance to rebuke me. Show me where they did not deface Timbuktu. Show me where they did not deface Mali, Senegal. Show me where they did not deface the pyramids, and I'll be glad to rebuke everything I said about the Moors. So that's, there you go. Now, all this is going on. Why does Europe know how great we were? How could the Moors, who were black men out of Liberia and Morocco, how did they had to know too, don't you think? And then they had those books. So, again, we are seeing the prophecy of Apuleius, who stated that we would become down very great. Didn't say how, but we are going to reveal how as these shows go on. It was by the doings of those who had hate in their hearts for the knowledge that was given. They were called the Crusaders, the Saracens, those who defaced all that knowledge that was there. Instead of glorifying it, they went and pillaged it. They pillaged it. They pillaged it today. Luckily, our brothers got a chance to see it. Lucky I had a chance to see it. I had a chance to see King Tut exhibit. And let me tell you, it was magnificent. Even at the end, they tried to do a trick job of making him look like Boy George. But all through the exhibit, he looked just like somebody's cousin. And I told you, I'm not into color because color is a game. It's a manufactured game. That color game came out, too, in the 1600s, 1700s. They had to come up with some concept to justify, so they had to go to slave class, color. They color that. That's why they couldn't keep the game and the charade going. It's very simple. We got to change the game, so even though we in the land of enlightenment, we got to make it look dark, degraded. Because if they start to catch on that they had any inkling to do with this, a massive revolution will come over the mind. And we will be done with their foolishness because we will say, let's create that again. That is called the second coming. And so the second coming is being fought. That's Herod. That's the allegory of Herod. He's looking for it. But see, it's being preserved in Kemet. Without Kemet, without the land of Kemet, I'm not talking about just that northern whole region from the top of the Mediterranean to Uganda, or down from Uganda to the Mediterranean, however you want to use it, but it's that land. That particular land mass is a treasure of wealth of the beginnings. Now, the reason why they made it so that you wouldn't believe it, because it'll make you have an unconscious worship of the anthropomorphic man, meaning that the brother said earlier, from the Beatles, he said that the allegory matter, they made it the gods or whatever we want to call the elements into symbolized a person, a being. So each periodic table has a characteristic that of a human being. Just look at how they say certain elements put together can help your kidneys. Certain elements put together can give you better heart palpitation. It's metals and all these chemicals and so forth. They were taught this in the Dark Ages, and they became the Renaissance Ages. And so from that particular endeavor, you had to see why they would have to crush knowledge and bring in ignorance, because ignorance can only breed the slavery that's necessary for the enslavement of man. Based upon, even if it comes down to the most diabolical rituals, they are performing them. Not because the Comedians did it. No, no, no. They just taking it to a new level. Because, again, I don't know what blood may mean to some people. I want you to know many nations around the world eat blood and drink blood as regular delicacies. Blood soup, milk and blood. I've watched many countries from the History Channel all the way from the Eating Channel, Food Channel. You just watch the Food Channel a couple of times of what they eat around the world, and I think a lot of you, and I had to ask this question, y'all might laugh, but if y'all had a honey glazed ham on the table and I brought you some hippopotamus nuts boiled in their guts, dipped in raw vinegar and apple juice, and stirred into a soup, which one would you eat? And I just don't, y'all got to answer, but just think about what I'm saying. People eating different stuff all over the earth. You, just because you say you don't eat the pork or all that stuff, man, let me tell you, I could take your ass. I think my brother Muhammad Moses could attest to the things they eat in Africa. You can't even digest. You can't even digest today over here. I think he's still on here. Let me see if he's still on here. Are you still on there, brother?
Are you gonna take some questions?
Yeah, I'm gonna take some questions, brother. You still out there? Tell them about that food. Could they eat the food that they have over there?
We couldn't eat the food over there that they traditionally eat, because our digestive system is different from theirs over there. We couldn't even drink the water. When I did accidentally drink some water, got sick automatically. Automatically,
right.
Just from brushing my teeth and letting water go down to my stomach, got sick, had to call the doctor, had diarrhea the whole night.
Biologically. Thank you. Go ahead. Tell them how you feel.
You couldn't eat the food, couldn't eat the water, because it's different than what we have over here. More importantly, the water. The water is so different that the people that went, was over 100 people that went, half of them got sick from either drinking the water or eating the food that they weren't supposed to eat. It's totally different. I know people don't think it is, but if you ever get there and just do what they tell you not to do when they're bringing you, you'll get sick. And I'm a living witness of that, because it happened to me. I got sick.
I got a brother. I got a brother whose friend, Pianchi, rest in peace, brother. Pianchi went over there on the same cruise, on the same thing you went on, with the same people. He went into the village. They told him, don't do it. He went into the village and got sick and died there. This is one of my good friends down here in Miami area. Yeah, his brother did. So all you talking that stuff about how you can, you know, what you can eat, how I can eat. No, you can't. I put a ham and some ostrich balls in front of you, you gonna eat that ham. Guarantee you. You gonna eat that ham.
That's what you used to seeing.
That's right. You ain't going to see. And you've been brainwashed with that, too. Everybody's brainwashed on this planet and the whole earth eating something different. I'm open the lines to people, Brother Sean. Go ahead.
One thing when I was over there. Before we got there, it was a guy who brought his congregation over there, and he wanted to show his congregation that he could walk on water.
like this man that they refer to as Jesus, so-called, did. And he did it, and he didn't make it back because they brought him back in a box. He died. He drowned trying to walk on water. This was a pastor that brought his congregation to Egypt. He wanted to show his congregation that he could walk on water. I'm sure some of you probably heard about this. It's true. He tried to do it and drowned in front of his congregation. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, man. Now, see, this is the foolishness that you read in this Bible. You thinking a man walked on water, and it's talking about the sun coming up out of the water. It looked like it's walking on water. See the difference? You taking a sun and thinking the sun is a human, and you want to try to do it yourself. Go ahead. Matter of fact, many of y'all, go ahead, and if you believe it, go walk on the ocean because it got salt. Let's see how far you get on the salt water. This is what's going on today. Y'all taking natural phenomena, and turn them into anthropomorphic beings, and now you can walk on water. Do you see the difference, y'all? That's what we're trying to make sense with people today. You're not walking on water. Ain't nobody walking on water. And if you find somebody walking on water, you need to run the hell away from them because that ain't a real person. That's a fact. Now, go ahead, Brother Sean. You got something you want to say before we close it out?
No, I want to ask you to go ahead and open it up to questions from the listeners.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Any questions that anybody might have? I'm going to open the line for everybody. Everybody, you on the line. That person making a loud noise. That 8072. 8072, you want to make a comment?
No, I'm just enjoying the show, listening, and I'm very grateful for all the information and knowing
man.
That the religion that our people are under, the sleeping pill they take every day, is what, you know, maintains the condition of divide and conquer, because it's hard for us to even conceive anything, you know, anything good coming out of Africa, period.
That's true. All right, appreciate it. All right, let me get to some more. Let me get to 1963. All right, 1963, you ain't trying to hear me.
Yeah,
16 is the legal age. Okay. Let me go ahead. All you guys are open, so y'all
want to
make a statement, feel free.
Drive on here.
Go ahead.
I just want to say.
Go ahead. She said dry bones first. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead, make your point. The next one. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, I was just wanted to say that I appreciate the Helios Bilios because I for one never knew that was actually a sun book, you know, of the Bible, and I learned a lot that Jesus is the sun through the Helios Bilios hour. So I definitely appreciate that. And just I also have a couple facts that I just wanted to state, that in Psalms 19, verses 1 through 5, it compares the heavens to the tabernacle for the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's compared to Jesus as a groomsman. And then you had mentioned earlier about the Jesus ministry starting at the age of 30, and that is also when the sun enters the sign of the zodiac at a 30 degree.
Mm-hmm.
And one other fact that I just wanted to point out that I learned through the Helios hour.
Oh yeah, now that's good. I'm glad you brought that up about that. You said that about the sun being say that about what you just said about the sun being at 30 degrees. Say it one more time.
It says Jesus in the Bible, it says the son, he begins his ministry at the age of 30, and the son also enters the signs of the zodiac at a 30 degrees. And also the son is the bright, and you also said that the son is the brightest at 12 noon, and that's why we're going to end the show. Jesus is the son is also shown in the scripture to be doing his father's will at 12, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
So he's just right.
And
so you see, So hold on. So let's get that in perspective. Everybody listening. So when you see him doing his father's will at the age of 12, when he first come into his enlightenment at his high at the age is 12. Put it in perspective. 12 o'clock. The highest heat of sun. The highest concentration of the light is at that time. That's why he's considered the most high. Now this is not to take away from any of the stories that do have facts in it. Now, there are going to be stories that we're going to have to put the factual connotation in, but these stories about Jesus is not on factual connotation because Jesus wasn't even around at the time of the story of Horus. And as we're trying to show everybody that these stories, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. So what has happened now, the last story ever told to us has now become the most prominent story, and the first story told us now has become the last looked upon story. Do you understand that? That's how it's working, y'all. Okay, go ahead. Somebody else get in on this. Any comments y'all want to make before we leave the show? We got 10 minutes. Any more comments?
Yeah. Let me just say.
Go ahead. David, I'm listening.
Yeah, let me just say that and the age that they give, it's like when you read in Genesis and they're talking about he created a lesser light and they think that's the moonlight. I mean, there's African civilizations that's older than 6,000 years. I mean, and that's fact.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
You know, how do we look over the facts and to say that some Adam and everybody's only 5,000 years old and we got ruins that's older than that. And then plus from Genesis to Revelations, it hasn't been a bone found to nobody. I mean, not a piece of doodle, not a fingernail.
Yeah, man, I like how you put that. We haven't even found no matter of any bone of anybody. And, you know, I think that should be taken into account, man, especially to the Christian world and even the Islamic world. We haven't found one Islamic anybody. I mean, nobody knows where Muhammad's buried. No one knows that. But see, here's my problem with this. Why is it okay for you to dig up every relic in the Sub-Saharan, all through Africa, all through some Asia, Central and South America relics and temples, and you won't even try to make a conscious attempt to find some of these characters that's supposed to be in the area of the so-called Middle East? We don't get no type of digging at all in the so-called Middle East. They don't even think about archaeology in the Middle East. Greece, they don't even go into deep-scale digging or going into none of the graves of these people. Because, let's be honest, y'all, we have not found anything substantial for anybody to go crazy like they're about to do. One thing about church, they do get crazy at 12 o'clock because I think the preacher might bring the money out soon. But at 12 o'clock, they're going to go crazy. Let's be honest. The music is beautiful. They're jamming. They're having a good time. They're about to run around in a little bit. The problem is, isn't it terrible that they can't run around with some facts? That's what we have a problem with. And much as we love our family members, we still love you, it's a shame you cannot tell me why y'all doing these things. And then yet you want our kids to go to college. You want our kids to get a good education. What's wrong with the church world getting a good education? Or anybody, common sense would say,
exactly.
Let's get a little education on it. You want all this education to be given to these young kids, yet you don't want none. You're so careful for you to say, oh, it don't matter. Go ahead.
A lot of these pastors are Freemasons, and they know what you're talking about, okay, what we're talking about here. They actually go as far as doing rituals in the church and the flock. The fourth flock, they don't know that they're being led into rituals that are not of heal.
Mm-hmm.
They are serving. And
I know that word flock ain't good. I hate that word flock.
Yeah.
I realize with a flock, that flock thing is so scary.
Think
and the thing is, being a sheep, Being a sheep is a beautiful animal. I mean, it's a very mild-mannered animal. It's a very peaceful animal. And of course, in Kemet, we didn't know how to defend ourselves when necessary. We just didn't go out to enslave people. That's what, and I'm using the genes of Kemet Commission, because one thing we must know, the DNA, the divine nature of the atom, is in everybody. And so you have to realize that it is a continual journey to the evolution of all of us. I mean, regardless, we always say we got our people's genes, and that's crap. We got the genes that are in all of us, and we must take a look at some of these things that are, we call a part of our families, because we got their genes and so forth. Just like the world is full of people that look just like you. Everybody wants y'all to know there is a person in another race that looks just like your ass. Believe me, they there. They have shown documents upon documents of people who look like, we have cloned all over the earth. It's a constant cloning going on. Every time you have kids, your kids have kids, continual cloning is taking place. Next week, we'll get into some of that information on the true meaning of the resurrection. We will show you that many of our people are not realizing that you are worshiping the dick. It's a phallic symbol. And the dick has a lot of energy, and we're going to show you that that is the true worship, is of the union of the male and female. That is the true worship of what is called, in many countries, the Kama Sutra, or the unity of male and female, or the yin and the yang. That is the duality power that we are going to discuss more as we get into. We're not going to deviate at all from the Helios Biblios. Every Sunday will be the Helios Biblios. Every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Unless otherwise informed, but, you know, we'll try to keep it as always Sunday. Wednesday, we got Brother Sean setting the record straight. I'm going to get some guests for him from the family. He's going to come back strong. I think he got a lot of information that he want to release based on what we heard from our normal Wednesday shows. We will start to analyze some of our guests that we have had on here, to find out where in really are these guests that we have on here. We appreciate y'all, but, you know, are we really a celebrity-oriented people that we got to have celebrities only to hear the real truth? Or can we accept the truth from somebody who's right around you all the time? Is that what it takes? Because if that's what it takes, then we are really a sad state of mind, because those celebrities are not going to come around when trouble hits your area. Count on it. They ain't around now to tell you what's going on. Most of them make these movies, and I'm going to talk. We'll one day we'll discuss. I hope to discuss Hidden Colors one day with somebody who's seen the whole one, and tell me why is Yahweh been Yahweh in there, and without him explaining what that was about. I find that it's just unbelievable that he would have Yahweh been Yahweh at the end. He don't know. He wasn't even in the temple. He was never in the temple. So
you know what I think that for?
Go ahead.
You know what I think? I've seen that Colors 3. I think that having that Yahweh Ben Yahweh's in there, that was just trying to show you that, well, to me, that was just trying to show you that if a black person do come up and achieve the monetary and the power, you know, of the people, is not necessarily saying the knowledge is correct, but They did the business aspect of it the right way, and they brought him down. So I mean, I just took it as they just trying to show you that even if you do build up a base and a monetary base, and you're trying to become a nation within a nation, even if you're wrong or right, even if the knowledge is true or false, it's still going to bring you down, because again, they don't want nobody showing these black people that they can be self-sufficient and sustained without the government being involved. That's how I do.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And again, we're going to take that on. Maybe we'll do that show at another time, because I didn't know that they did come from that perspective, but being that one who was very involved. I just found out that, you know, I just find it kind of strange that they picked these characters not really knowing the extent of how did he get that money? I bet he couldn't answer that question. And I bet he wouldn't do the things that was done to get the money to that level either. So that's what I'm saying. If you ain't willing to give your all, like that was the cause, and most of these causes for these people to become who they are, they need people to give. They need people to give. Your preacher don't become rich without you giving your money. And the more you give your money, watch how more rich your preacher becomes. Guarantee it. He's not. Yeah, the preacher. I'm just gonna give a simple analogy before we leave this to go to our descent. Money is in the scripture as a defense. Money is a defense. It has defensive principles. It can get you out of things. It can maneuver you to different things. It can bring you into commerce. It can bring you into all kind of pleasures and so forth. So it has properties as such. How you obtain it, that's another story. But the object of money can be used as defense. We are at the 12 noon hour, everybody. That means we are at Amen Ra and Tepera. We will ask everybody to take upon your day to make your mind clean, make your conscience there, enjoy your life the way it needs to be enjoyed, and don't believe the bullshit that they are teaching. So what we say to everybody, Helios Videos, Wednesday, Brother Sean, set the record straight. I don't think y'all want to play with that, y'all who've been talking all that stuff. Brother going to put it down. Sister Akila, Sister Malika, my brothers from the below, love y'all. Everybody on the internet, thank you. www.drybonesconnection.com. Go to www.drybonesconnection.com. We have some new information up. We got some new things y'all need to take a look at. And until Wednesday night, y'all got to have patience with these people, man. They will make you go crazy, so y'all make sure y'all practice patience. Can't say it no more. You are talking to...
Here we are.
The living dead. While you live.
Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But still the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages on TV, the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on and all of a sudden you are still at Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see, and it's all that will ever show. Cause the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them are gonna flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic line is where them two can defeat and them could I never clown. A spiritual DNA that lives in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, that's patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering the world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes. It gets no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. and still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Got us teaching universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose stops running. And the wrist gets fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can they resign? Can they restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers. People that's just ignorant and scared of the truth. We patient for now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paid for what? Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali, patience.